is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. As the Occupy Wall Street movement enters its second month with no signs of letting up, we want to pose this question.
Can you support the Occupy Wall Street movement while at the same time profit from Wall Street? We're going to explore that question in just a moment with some Boston-based investment fund managers who say the answer is yes.
But first, we're going to hear from Matt Taibbi on the protest movement. Taibbi is a writer and editor at Rolling Stone magazine and an outspoken supporter of Occupy Wall Street. And he was in Boston today addressing a very unlikely audience.
He spoke to members of the Massachusetts Society of CPAs. In fact, they were a group of accountants who work in alternative investments.
So picture the scene. An audience of number crunchers from some of the state's largest accounting firms and investment houses, and Matt Taibbi, the Rolling Stone writer, who famously referred to Goldman Sachs as a great vampire squid.
Here's the executive vice president of the Mass Society of CPAs, Mary Ann Brush.
Well, we thought, especially with Occupy Wall Street going on, that Matt Taibbi would bring a little, he'd be kind of a controversial but interesting speaker for us.
And he was. Taibbi told the accountants that addressing them felt like an acid trip flashback.
Also that the banks, what the banks did to cause the subprime mortgage industry meltdown was like, quote, selling oregano as weed.
And afterward, he talked to us about the financial crisis, about the Occupy Wall Street movement, and about how he prepared today's talk to the accountants.
I mean, this was harder for me because most of the talks that I give are to people who don't know anything about money or finance or Wall Street or anything. So, you know, I thought what these people would be more interested in is sort of the perspective of an outsider coming to it from the first time. And so I kind of tried to walk them through my process of discovery with all that.
You laid out what happened, as you have in your reporting, and what happened to the lead up of the bailout of AIG, the collapse of the mortgage-backed securities industry, which you described as banks selling oregano as weed repeatedly,
yeah,
and doing it again, and it was working so well, sell more.
Right. That's essentially what the scam was. Let's create a whole gigantic volume of crappy subprime loans. Let's use a lot of fancy math to rechristen them AAA-rated securities, and then let's find institutional investors who had an appetite for AAA-rated products and sell them this stuff by the trillion. And that's why they were able to make so much money with these risky loans.
So given all that we've learned about this, much has been exposed by reporting on it by people like you and others. Has the financial industry learned its lesson, do you think?
I don't think so. There was no punishment for what happened. If you look historically, like for instance at the savings and loan crisis, there were about 1,500 prosecutions back then. Well over 800 people actually went to jail for the abuses of the S&L crisis, which was an exponentially smaller fraud scheme than this mortgage business.
And to date, precisely zero folks have gone to jail or been prosecuted.
Yeah, not for anything really related to the mortgage-backed securities problem. There have been a few people who have been prosecuted recently for insider trading. There's one guy from Goldman Sachs who's been charged for fraud involving some mortgage-backed derivatives, but nobody's actually gone to jail for any of this.
Which brings us to Occupy Wall Street and the movement, including Occupy Boston. What's your view of what's behind this? Earlier today, you were talking about your sense of these people probably not understanding a great deal of detailed analysis of how a credit default swap is put together and all that, but there is kind of a perception of the injustice, right?
Absolutely. People say that this is a group of people who are just jealous of the rich and who are mad because all these people were successful. I think that's absolutely not true at all. And this is, you know, America. We love winners in this country, but these guys didn't win. They cheated. And I think people understand that now. I mean, they don't always specifically know exactly how it happened, but they do know that when they got in trouble, when they lost their houses and they got foreclosed upon, nobody came to rescue them. But when the banks got in trouble, they all got made whole again, and they're all making record bonuses again. And people haven't missed that. They understand that.
So where do you see this protest movement going? Where should it go? What's your advice?
I think the first thing they have to do is just keep at it, you know, stay on their feet, get bigger. What's happening now is that the whole country is watching these protests and they're saying, well, what do these people want? You know, what can we give them to make them go away? You know, what legislative solution will will satisfy them. Well, nobody was asking that a few months ago. So the longer they hold out, the more people are going to be willing to negotiate with them. Now, eventually, they're going to have to come up with some kind of concrete platform, you know, make some real demands.
For example?
You know, break up the too big to fail companies. That's the big one, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we have this situation now where these companies have the implicit support of the United States government, these banks like Citi and Goldman and Bank of America. We know they're not going to go out of business. So that makes it impossible for there to be any incentive for them to be completely responsible, because they know no matter what happens, they're going to get rescued. Those companies are a threat to national security, and they have to be broken up. Now, there was a movement to do that in the Dodd-Frank negotiations, and a couple of amendments to do that got as many as 33 votes in the Senate. So there's some support for that, and I think if the protesters were to coalesce around something like that, they could get something like that.
Mm. So a little later in the hour, we're going to be talking with some investment fund managers from Boston who have expressed support for the Occupy Wall Street movement, who embrace socially responsible investments. Can you both profit from Wall Street and support the Occupy Wall Street movement?
I think so. You have to invest in companies that are not bad companies. Look, it's a problem, just for instance, on the commercial banking side, right? Mm-hmm. So many of the commercial banks are being swallowed up by these too big to fail companies that if somebody on the individual level wants to not support a bad actor, a too big to fail actor, there aren't that many options. You're down to a local credit union or a military bank or something like that. But I think, you know, at the institutional investment level, there are a lot of things that people can do, starting with not investing in dicey mortgage-backed securities, making sure that they review the investments much more stringently than they were in the past. I mean, one thing that was happening with these institutional investors previously is that they were relying upon ratings agencies and outside mm-hmm. evaluators when they were buying a lot of these instruments. And I think if they force these banks to actually create sound investments as opposed to putting together these shoddy fly-by-night packages that they were buying before, I mean, that could be a game changer for the entire market.
Mm. Last question. What's the toughest question you would ask these folks sort of to test their commitment to socially responsible investing?
Why should somebody get paid a $500,000 bonus for creating a deal that may blow up 4 or 5 years down the road? Why can't you wait to compensate people until we've proven that they've made good decisions? I think one of the things that happened with Wall Street that was really a negative was in the 80s and 90s, a lot of these companies started they went public and they stopped betting with their own money. Mm-hmm. They started betting with shareholder money. And I think we need to get back to a point where these guys on Wall Street have a lot more skin in the game, that they're making decisions with their own money, creating something positive as opposed to just trying to make money on the cheap and on the quick.
Matt Taibbi, editor of Rolling Stone magazine, thanks so much for talking to us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Matt Taibbi is author of several books, including his most recent Griftopia, Bubble Machines, Vampire Squids, and the Long Con That Is Breaking America.
When we return, supporting Occupy Wall Street and advocating for socially responsible investing. Can you do both? I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.